Brethren, it looks like humanity is starting to trust each other less and less. With fears of others around the world and mistrusting even our next door neighbors are growing. As experts have moved the doomsday clock closer to midnight, doomsday preppers can feel some relief knowing that they aren't overreacting. Some preppers might be spending lavishly in the event of the world coming to an end, but it states that you don't need to be one of those people. There are warnings stating that you can prepare for the apocalypse by setting aside some basic supplies, all of which will not end up breaking the bank. Part of the apocalyptic message states that you want, more than anything, are supplies that will support you and your family. And they go on with saying, and it's been said that you need weapons and medical supplies and clothes and food, water, and alternative heat sources. And some preppers even have underground bunkers. They're basically homes underground. I saw a program, that's what spurred me to this. They had one prepper that the newscaster, and he says, it was in a neighborhood, and they were, and I have this, and I have my swimming pool that I'd converted, and I have all this fish growing in it, and I have this, and I have that. And the journalist asked him, well, suppose your neighbors find out. You know, along that line, I know a rancher in West Texas, and I've gone to his land and surveyed a piece of property that he purchased that was adjacent to his ranch. And it was like 15 or 20 acres that he purchased. And he purchased it by a note that was left in his mailbox. And it was the children of this elderly couple that lived in an old, dilapidated, double-wide mobile home. And he never paid attention to them. They were very secluded to themselves, and that left their property all overgrown. And some of us might know what post oak is. It looks like posts, but it looked like a little virtual forest, so you couldn't see much inside that property. But the offer for him to buy was so good but they needed a quick response. And see, so he gave a quick survey and he said, well, it's right next to my property. It's been here for years, so what can I? So he bought it. And then when he bought it, he came back from a title company and he started surveying it. Well, he found, after some going through the thicket, he found a huge water reservoir. And it was made out of concrete, but some movement, I guess the earth cracked it, so it had a leak. So he started surveying more, and he went into the mobile home, and he found everything. The children had took the mother, was on oxygen, so they took it, and they left all the furniture. Furniture was pre-1970s. Wood paneling, the trailer was really worn out. And so he got out of that, and when he was doing that, I happened to come across. His wife told me, well, he's over there. So I went over to look, and we both looked into different buildings that was there. There was a huge building that was just a shell, but at one time it housed a huge emergency generator, the diesel kind, diesel cat generator, huge thing. But it was no longer there, but the hookups were there, and the diesel tank was there, was all pitted and everything. And so we started looking in more. We started going through some brush, and it was a huge shop. I bet you that thing, I tried to pace it off. It was like 60 by 80. Huge thing. And it had, one section had all four. Like it had wood lathes. It had everything that, table saws. But not just the craftsman table saws. No, these were, you know, with 16-inch blades. Those huge ones. And it had a place there for all your 2x4s and plywood, and I said, man. And I, the more I looked at it, and it was a metal section it had for electrical benches and everything, test equipment and electrical wires, And the other side had all this kind of stuff for a machine, had a machine, a drill press, you know, the big, huge ones, and you have the rest. And I said, man. But the hole, it had holes in the shed, and it was already watered down, and some of it was ruined. It had whatever, and it was sprayed by asbestos. Back in the day, they sprayed things with asbestos for insulation. And I said, well, let me get out of here. But I started looking at this. I said, man. We looked at it, we were in awe. So we finally found a bunker. A bunker, and the walls were inch and a half thick and had a metal door. And the windows were metal clad and had little slits on them. And we went inside, it was immaculate, it was clean. It was probably vacuum sealed or something. They had a big area for where an armory used to be. They took all the guns out of it. It had a little kitchen and the bedroom. I thought to myself, all this money and this preparation this man spent, his whole lifetime, I would think, just preparing for this stuff. And apparently the children didn't care. They probably lived through his obsession, but that's what it turned out to be. And they didn't want nothing to do with it. They sold it. The land was just sold it for the land. He sold it to this rancher. All this money for preparations, and they, both of them passed away without anything apocalyptic happening. It's very sad. The children sold, like I said, the property, just, they didn't want nothing to do with it. Title of my sermonette is How to Prepare for the End Times. There's nothing you can, let me start by something we all know. There's nothing you can physically do to prepare for the end times. Nothing. Not one single thing. Here's a prophecy from the Bible. And we, most of us, if not all of us, know. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 to 17. And I read, it says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves of the rocks or the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits in the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. And who is able to stand? Brethren, if those, that elderly couple would have even known this, if they would have read the Bible and they would have read this, even if you stockpiled enough survival rations to fill an Olympic-sized swimming pool, built a bunker that could withstand a nuclear holocaust and hoarded enough guns and ammo to fend off a standing army of a small country, it wouldn't be enough. When the great day of his wrath has come, when the earth shakes the mountains and the islands out of place, that is an earthquake, brother. When the stars fall from heaven and the sky recedes like a scroll, when the kings and slaves alike cower in fear at the judgment of God is raining down on this corrupt earth. All the physical preparations in the world won't make an ounce of difference. Now, let's not take this out of context. Let's not say, okay, let's be carefree and not prepare for anything because we live in a hurricane area. So we're advised to have a disaster preparedness kit, you know. But even that is temporary, you know. That can only take you so long. That said, God does expect us to prepare for the end times. But that's a spiritual endeavor, not a physical one. To prepare for the end times, we need to understand what the end times are. We do. And basically, most of us, if not all, technically speaking, we've been on the end times for the last 2,000 years. If you think about it, the tribulation is a period of 3.5 years immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ on earth. And the day of the Lord, often referred to short but intense period of the world, is directly punished by God for its sins. These are the apocalyptic cataclysmic events of the end time that we cannot physically prepare for, but that we must spiritually prepare for. Being prepared for the end times doesn't require exactly predicting the end times. Most of us have been through that, from our previous. Paul warned in 1 Thessalonians 5:20 about the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So we won't know. Nobody will. In preparing for a disaster, the goal is to survive, right? To make it safely to the other side of whatever calamity we might experience. But we can't be thinking physically. You might say that that's the goal of preparing of an end times, although making it safely to the other side looks a little different in this case, because we're doing it spiritually, brethren. Even if we die, because some of us might survive, before or during the final events of the end times, our hope is in a far greater kind of survival. Paul explained Jesus Christ at his return. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. And Paul was explaining this on a different perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, it states, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, which we are now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." Right? God made us in his image, right? "If we do justly, love, mercy, and walk humbly with God, if we live our lives in accordance with his word and following his commands, we can expect to make it safely to the other side if we go through the end times. Not as physical human beings, but as spiritual sons and daughters of God himself." Like twinkling of an eye, right? That's why we prepare for the end times. Not to survive it physically, but because of the incredible future waiting for us on the other side of it. And in the beautiful future that we hopefully partake in. Revelation 21 verse 4 states, "There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no pain, for the former things have passed away." That's worth preparing for, brethren. Fear God and keep his commandments.